It's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows.
Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. This is Andrew Hansen, and I'm happy to be joined this afternoon by the coach of the state championship winning Bedford golf team. It's Coach Dan Colburn. Coach, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much. I'm doing well. And yourself?
Yeah, doing great. Happy to be talking golf here, and we're taping this on Thursday afternoon. Of course, it's nice and rainy and windy out, so we're staying inside, but you guys were outside on Tuesday in the sunshine winning the state championship, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, I want to get everybody caught up on the regular season for your guys. So tell us a little bit about the regular season and what were some of the turning points that helped you gel to get ready to win the state championship.
We had a successful season again. We were 18-1 and we're the 3 seed going in. I would say the major event that happened that turned the corner, Brady Burke broke the growth plate in his wrist in the second week of the season, and he missed the majority of the regular season. So other players had stepped up and filled in different spots when we needed them to.
Yeah, that's huge. Now, was he one of the ones who came back to play in the state championship?
Yes, he did, and he was also one of the ones to qualify in the individual day on Sunday.
Right, so great comeback from him. But, yeah, you're right, so that gave other younger players a chance to participate in regular season events where otherwise they may not have.
Right, yeah, they get to play in a couple of varsity events that they probably would have just been stayed down at the JV level. So it was good for them.
That is wonderful. So we'll get into some of the details of those younger players and their scores in the state championship. But first, let's talk a little bit about the conditions on Tuesday. It was over at Stonebridge Country Club, sunny but a little bit cool, a little bit windy. What was the feeling with the team going into the event, and what was some of the advice that you gave the players before they teed off?
They felt pretty good going in. They knew it was a tough course, and I always try to tell them, like, you know, you can't force your game on the course. You got to apply it to the course. And lucky for us, on Tuesday, the course was in fabulous shape. It was absolutely gorgeous. And like you had said, the wind just picked up a little bit in the afternoon. But other than that, I just told them, listen, you got to play smart, play every hole. And, if you can beat the other three guys in your group, then we win as a team.
Yeah, that's a good mentality to have. And you're right. It's fun to play on a course when the greens are in good condition and it doesn't come down to the course being an issue. It's about performance on the course. So tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, how the day unfolded and some of the turning points. Of course, it's hard for you to be on top of everything because you're trying to monitor everyone from near the clubhouse. And it's not like a PGA Tour event where you've got scoreboards at every corner that are being constantly updated. So hard for you to know exactly what's happening everywhere throughout the day. But what were some of the highlights that you were hearing about and seeing?
Well, I did happen to see it was nice to see CJ Ledoux open up his round with 2 straight birdies. So that set him off on a good spot. And, you hear a lot of stuff from other spectators, parents and other coaches going around. Are you kidding me on this hole? Or your guys are struggling over here. So we had a couple of guys that, you know, we all played well, but they ran into a couple of tough holes, a double bogey a hole or something like that. And a lot of times that can really derail a kid, especially in the state tournament. And, we did a real good job of being mentally tough enough to get through that and then continue to play well on the following holes after that.
Yeah, that's huge to try and stay in it mentally if you don't get off to the birdie start like CJ, if you have a double bogey mixed in, to try to stay focused. So what's the advice like during the event that you're giving out? Because is it the same for each kid, or is it sort of depend on the situation where you're kind of reading their body language?
Yeah, it's a lot of reading body language, see how the kid's, how he's doing. And then if they're struggling, then you say, well, what are we doing here? You know, what seems to be this? Can you not, you know, you having issues putting, or can you not get off the tee, that kind of thing. I usually, kids kind of give me a hard time about it sometimes because I say it so much, but I always just say, listen, just hit it in the middle of the fairway, middle of the green, and get your 2 putts, get your par, and let's go on to the next one. And then regroup, and then you can go and start trying to score from there.
Yeah, 18 pars is, I mean, we'd all be happy with that, and there'd be no problems,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So now what about when you do hear about something like, or you see CJ start birdie, is that something you'll share with the other guys and say, hey, CJ's off to a hot start, you know, less pressure on you? Do you try to, you know, use something positive like that to boost the rest of the team?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and sometimes it's from the other kids on the other teammates on the course that tell me, you know, how other guys are doing. And then I'll go and try to find, you know, seek that kid out to see if, you know, he needs a little extra, you know, encouragement or anything like that. But when you start telling the kids, yeah, well, you know, CJ's playing well and Johnny's playing well and, you know, Brady's done pretty well, but he bogeyed the last hole, so it helps. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like, yeah, you just keep grinding your round out and we'll see how it finishes up at the end.
We're joined today by Coach Dan Colburn of the state championship winning Bedford golf team. And Coach, let's fast forward to the end of the event where the scores are finally being tallied up and you're matching your cards up against the other team's cards. Who were the five players who had their scores count, and what were those scores that they put up on the board?
CJ Ledoux was our low, and he shot 2 over 74. And then John Giroux shot 77. Brayden Burke shot 77 as well. And Elliot Wallace and Sean Toscano both shot 83.
And my understanding that the cut for it was the top 20 in ties in terms of individuals who got to move on to the individual state championship. Where did the cut fall? Was it right around that 82 spot?
The cut ended up being 81.
81.
So anything 81s and better got in. So we were hoping maybe that if we could get all five in, that would have been great. But three is still not bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with 77 or less on a tough course like that. So
right.
as we look ahead to Sunday, that's going to be the second round for those three, where the score from Tuesday will count, and then they're going to try and put another good score up on Sunday to try to battle for the individual title. What do you think it'll take for those guys to get to the top on Sunday?
Well, part of the thing is, you know, we're going to a different course, so they got to do a little bit of research, a little bit of homework, and they're going up for a practice round. And now I tell them on Sunday, now it's not about beating the kids in your group, it's about beating the whole field. So now keep it in the middle of the fairway and then fire at the pin every time.
That sounds fun. It's got to be fun to have a coach tell you that, and that is a different approach than you took on Tuesday, right? Your approach on Tuesday was to be a little bit more conservative, try not to make mistakes because you're trying to just have a steady score here for the team.
Right. Correct. Right. Exactly. And then now on the individual day, well, let's get the best round you can get, you know. And when we're going around, if they start struggling again, I'm like, well, then here we go. We got to go back to, you know, middle of the fairway, middle of the green, get you two putts and regroup, and then off we go again. So they're pretty excited to be playing. So
yeah, that's fun to get to advance to that opportunity. Now, if there are fans who want to get out there and watch the golf on Sunday, where will they go, and what time will the kids tee off?
The tournament on Sunday is at Beaver Meadow Country Club up in Concord, and I believe the first tee is at 10 a.m., but the tee sheet hasn't been released yet, so I'm not 100% positive.
All right, well, stay tuned for that. Of course, we're joined by Coach Dan Colburn of the Bedford Golf Program. And, Coach, this is multiple team titles for you, right? So how many team titles have you won now, and what are the secrets as you try to build these, you know, strong programs year in and year out?
We have won our sixth consecutive title this year, which is just it still amazes me that we've been able to accomplish that. And it's really a credit to the kids. You know, I don't really have any secrets to it. It's just the kids love to play. They play in a lot of junior tournaments, which helps a lot, and I can't keep them off the golf course. If I try to give them a day off, they still go on their own. So, and you just, that says it all. They just love to play.
Yeah, it really does. That says a lot, and it makes sense with, you know, building up the practice, the experience, playing the junior events, to be able to shoot, you know, mid 70s with the pressure on, that says a lot. You got a lot of talent on that squad.
Right, and we have a lot of younger guys coming up that are ready to start pushing, you know, some of the upperclassmen out and, you know, take their spots, and that's good competition. They all want to be on, you know, play on that final team day on the team tournament day, so it helps. It's good competition for them.
Yeah, it really is, and six straight, that's an excellent accomplishment. A lot of fun to be a part of that. And
absolutely.
Right. So now we got to look forward. Of course, every time we have a season wrap up with a championship, we start to think about next year, and your individuals still have to play on Sunday. But what's the outlook for next year? What are your losses looking for in terms of graduation, and how do you envision the team shaping up next fall?
We're graduating 4 of the 16. So it's not a huge turnover like we've had in the past, but it's still a fair amount. there was a good crop of younger guys that came in, freshmen and sophomores that hadn't played before, that really have worked hard and are right on the doorstep to crack the varsity lineup. So if they keep working hard and they push through, we should be right up there every year. You know, and it just really comes down to, I think a lot of it is their mental toughness. It's really what helps us a lot, is what I think. So, and we try to instill that in them during practices and stuff where, you know, you're not just out banging the ball around with your buddies who are out here practicing. I try to take it as a match mentality in practices and things like that. So just to try to keep them sharp.
Well, that mentality has certainly paid off. So congratulations again on the state championship, the team title. We'll look forward to hearing how things go on Sunday and enjoy the off season with another title.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, that was Coach Dan Colburn of the Bedford Golf Program. Thank you again for joining us, and stay tuned. We'll be right back on Fox on Sports here on Bedford 105.1. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen, and we are joined by defending state champion here. That is Stuart Pepper, the coach of the Bedford High boys soccer team. Coach, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned in the intro, last year you won a state title. And then, of course, as happens in high school, you can't keep them forever. You lost 11 players to graduation. How do you take a mindset that you're heading into what might feel like a rebuilding season?
Yeah, despite the fact we lost half our squad, you know, we still have 11 players who experienced the championship season. And like, this experience is just so priceless in terms of understanding what it takes to be a champion, you know, and understanding the hard work it takes. I think we're very fortunate to have, you know, those 11 players back.
It's nice to have that leadership. It's also nice to have people who've been through it with you before. And when I said rebuilding, that implies that the cupboard's bare, but we know that's not the case. For our listeners, who are some of the names, and I've reviewed some of the stats and game recaps, so I have a good idea, but if somebody hasn't seen them, who are the impact players on the roster?
Well, we have like a good group of seniors that are just taking a great leadership role that are impacting games in a big way. You know, we have Vitor Rodriguez and Zach Burrow and Nate Sotiris as a dynamic trio up front. And they're causing havoc, you know, all season with their skill and their strength and their athletic ability. And, you know, to have those three as a front line, you know, and with their experience, but also with their skill, you know, I certainly believe we have the strongest, you know, attack in the state, you know, because of what they bring to the program. You know, and backing that up, we have Aiden Wishers, you know, who's like a three-year starter as goalkeeper who brings such confidence and assurance and leadership, you know, as a goalkeeper. And to have, you know, a senior goalkeeper with his ability and his experience counts for a lot, you know, then that helps. But having said all that as well, we have just got a core of juniors that like played, you know, in the championship season, you know, midfielders, Matty Flanagan and James Poshman, you know, dominant in our midfield. And we have got a really strong defence that's only conceded 2 goals in 10 games. You know, led by Drew Middleton and Jake Bowden and Nate Barrow, that are just, you know, very, very strong in what they do. So when you couple our seniors with our strength of juniors, you know, we really have like a strong core that, you know, we can count on.
We are here with Coach Stuart Pepper of the Bedford High boys soccer team. And you talk about that core, and the first name that you mentioned was Vitor Rodriguez, who's got 12 goals so far on the season. When the team is playing well, and by and large, they're beating teams by 4, 5, even 8 goals, how do you ensure that everybody who's out there with you remains focused on what they have to do? And I have to imagine for your goalie, Wishard, too, it's also a challenge remaining focused when the ball is so predominantly in the offensive end.
Yeah, we're just like, we have a culture where we have like a culture of respect and playing with intensity, you know, and it doesn't matter who we're playing against or what we're doing, we maintain that intensity and respect, you know. So, you know, just despite the fact we might be winning games easily, we try to maintain those high standards and keep things going. It also allows us to use our whole squad and get them in a really good playing experience. And some of the players with less varsity experience have had some really good time this season, and they're developing their games as a result. So despite the fact we might be winning games quite handily, we're still using it to help our team develop and foster a good team spirit.
Now, Coach, you're sitting atop the standings at 9-0-1 after the first 10 games, and you have had a couple close games, including a 2-0 win over Hanover and the 1-1 tie against Wyndham. How has the team been able to grow and benefit from those close games this year?
Yeah, they're the games we love. They're the games we sort of see as playoff-type experiences. So we've loved playing them, and unfortunately the Wyndham game was one true low point of the season where we didn't quite click as a team. We didn't play well as a team. We met a strong Wyndham team that put us off our game. But I think through adversity, you learn greater and better things. And I certainly think from that game, we realised we weren't the finish high school. We realised where our weaknesses were, and we've worked hard at the practice and in games. And since the Wyndham game, we've really played well. We've been firing. We've not conceded a goal since then. So I think for adversity, we've gained something. So we hope to keep learning.
And Coach, we had the pleasure of broadcasting that 1-1 tie against Wyndham. And one of the fun things was seeing the comeback, because Wyndham scored first and then Vero scored to tie it. What were those weaknesses that you were talking about that the team's been able to work on?
Sometimes I think we rely on our stronger players a little bit too much, and we allow them to have more touches on the ball. And I think now we understand that if we are going to be a true champion team, we need to play through our team and have less touches on the ball, play with speed, and create spaces by playing with a high tempo, and then we can mix that up with our skillful players who can show a bit of magic in that final third and get that balance right. So I think that's what we're trying to work towards, that magic ingredient of playing well, but at the same time playing well as a team.
Here with Coach Stuart Pepper, the Bedford High Boys soccer program. And Coach, one thing that you talk about, but it's easy to say it, but it's hard to put it into play, is chemistry and camaraderie and togetherness and functioning as a team. How do you put that into practice with the team that you have?
I just think as a program, we've worked hard over 13 years of developing our culture. And, there's a culture that we've developed on the field and off the field where we have respect for each other. We have discipline. We want to be seen as doing the right thing on off the field. And I think we take really great pride in what we do. And the boys love playing for this program and love representing this program. And I think on top of all that, they have fun. They enjoy themselves. And as a result of that, we get that balance right by having fun, but also maintaining high discipline and high standards in everything we do and how we look to everyone that sees us.
As you mentioned, some of the players on the team and some of the need to balance having fun and working hard, who are some of the personalities that you have on the roster?
We have lots, but two to spring to my mind are two new players to our team, Alex Kim and Avery Hudson. They're both seniors. Both have done their time in the JVs and have come to the team. They look like they're loving themselves, but they're funny lads. They're always smiling and cracking jokes and timing their one-liners in the right way. And they bring a lot of fun to the program, which is added to us. What we have. There are other players like James Poshman and Roman Snegic, the goalkeeper. They both make us laugh, but in different ways. They're very serious type people, but we have fun with them, and they enjoy the camaraderie we have with those two.
I don't know. It's interesting to think back to when I was playing sports in high school and who some of the characters were, and when the coaches actually thought we were funny, and when they just rolled their eyes at us.
Yeah, that happens sometimes, but hopefully not. Yeah.
You talk about good timing, but that's part of comedy is timing. And
exactly, yeah.
If your timing's off, it can really backfire. So here with the Bedford High boys soccer coach, Stuart Pepper. For the rest of the season, of course, five games from now, and I really feel like every coach that we talk to, when we talk to them and say, oh, you have a game against Central in a few weeks, and everybody has the exact same thing. We're worried about the next game. We're worried about the next opponent. Who are some of the tougher opponents for you coming down the road this season?
So we play Nash yourself on Thursday and then Central the following Tuesday. So we have like two huge games for us, you know, which will mean, you know, whether we get to, you know, number one, you know, for the playoffs. But both of those teams are like high quality and filled with quality players as well. So, like, you know, we know that they're going to be probably our two sternest tests, you know, and going back to back, it's going to be pretty intense, but pretty exciting. So we're looking forward to those games, but we also have to respect also the, you know, the other teams we play, because on the day, any team is capable of winning a, you know, a soccer game. So we have to be at our best at all times.
Coach, we're looking forward to broadcasting that game against Nashua South this upcoming Thursday, the 10th. Now, what do you think the keys to that game will be? Will it be, is there anything specific about South, or is it going to be what you're talking about earlier in terms of improving that overall balance of individual moves with, you know, possessing the ball as the team?
I think you hit the nail on the head perfectly there. You know, we have to play to our strengths and play to the way that we want to play. We also know that they have some very creative players that can open us up. They actually beat us in a scrimmage, you know, before the season started, and some of their players really looked like they could, you know, expose, you know, some of our weaknesses. So, you know, we've worked hard at that, you know, during the season. We're going to make sure that we can stop their, you know, creative players, and we know that with our front three and our strong midfield that we have the ability to actually break open, you know, Nashua South. So, but we fully respect them, and we know it's going to be, you know, our toughest game.
It is a long road to get to a championship, as you well know. And first, you got to worry about your class at 11 o'clock. So, Coach, well, it's been a pleasure having you, and we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, Coach.
Cheers. Take care. Bye.
That was Coach Stuart Pepper of the Bedford High Boys Soccer Program. Always a great interview, and always sheds a lot of light on the program as a whole. And I have to imagine for the coaches who teach, whether it's Coach Matthews or Coach Winning or whatever, first of all, like, we're kind of busting into their day a little bit. But for them, it's, you know how you get, and I know how I get. If I have a game at the end of the day, like, it's hard to focus. You're focused on work, and or I remember being a kid, and like, school is just a formality. So for the teachers who also coach, that's a real challenge. It's got to be.
It is, but he's used to it now. He's led this program for a long time, done a great job. But it is fun to hear him, and I just think listening to him when he's talking about focusing in on the discipline and the skills, you know, he certainly has that intensity, but just the way that he sounds, it's a relaxed intensity.
Yeah.
So it's a good balance, and, you know, no wonder they're doing so well after losing 11 seniors off that championship team.
And he also seems to have a good deal of appreciation for kids because it, and we've talked about this on the program, for as much as people like to say things like kids these days are different, kids have changed, again, they deal with way more things, these kids do, than we ever had to deal with when we were kids, whether it's socially, whether it's social media, you name it. And it's always nice when you have a chance to talk to somebody who is a tactician of the game, as Coach Pepper quite obviously is, but also somebody who kind of takes the time to realize that these are kids and that this is fun for them to be able to do it, and appreciates that. But also some of the fun that goes with it is the opportunity to contend for a title at the end of the season. So that was Coach Stuart Pepper of the Bedford High soccer program, and we'll take a quick break. You are listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1.
Hey, Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows.
Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Lauren Fox, Andrew Hansen, and we're excited today because we have some student-athlete guests, which somebody actually filled out a survey on the 105.1 website and said you need more student-athlete guests. So, like, this works out perfectly. So, Ella Irwin, Allie Morgan, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for having me.
Hi.
These two have started up the BHS Dog Section, which is an Instagram page that I found out about earlier this week. I work in digital marketing, and so you guys are doing a really good job at, you know, I'm watching what you guys are doing. I'm like, all right, what can I learn from this? So that's cool. What made you both decide to start the organization?
Well, we were sitting at a little cafe called Inside Scoop on like the first day of school.
Yep.
And it's our senior year. So we were just pondering like how it's our last year of high school and we have to make it the best that it can be. And we kind of wanted to involve a lot of people that didn't usually get involved. So, and we both love sports. So we wanted to get everybody involved, and we decided to just create something that would have like a positive impact on a lot of people, and it would be fun for everybody. Yeah, and just like include all sports, because like we know it's a huge thing for like everyone to go to the home football games, and we wanted to make like carry that energy from football to all the other sports that don't get the same attention that they deserve.
So it's a lot of fun to see, and it's a lot of fun to see the stories that you're posting. And I guess I've already sort of buried the lead in the second question. How are you getting the word out about the other sports?
Yeah, so we have this Instagram page. Ella actually is the one that created it and added me to it, so we can both add, post, share, whatever. Basically, we advertised it from our own like personal Instagrams to go follow it. And then once it started growing and growing,
people started talking about it. People were
reposting it and like putting it on other forms of social media. We put it out through Twitter. And then it started growing, and now it's just become like a big thing in our class, in our school. And it got so much more attention than we were expecting, which also helped spread the word. Cause like we thought it would just be like our senior friends and stuff. And then underclassmen started following and showing up to the games and stuff.
Sports team.
Yeah. And, last week we were taught puppy at our school, which is just like a recognition thing. And then teachers and administration found out about it and started following.
Parents.
Yeah.
Contacting us and saying like, thank you for, you know, supporting our like kids. Like it really is like affecting them in a positive way. And it just kind of helped the message grow. Yeah.
That's wonderful to hear. So you've been talking about the message spreading. Tell us a little bit about some results that you've seen in terms of people actually attending games that maybe before they wouldn't have.
Well, the first homegirl soccer game was really when we like realized it was bigger than what we thought it was going to be, because like how many people do you think showed up?
There was like 50 at least. Yeah,
and we filled like pretty much half the stands probably. Yeah. Which is a lot. Usually like no students go to a girls soccer game, you know, and so it was so fun to like see everyone show up, and everyone was like happy and yelling loud.
And it really does get contagious when you're there and you're with your friends and this is something that's fun that we can be a part of. I mean, I remember, God, they wound up when I was in college playing some volleyball games on campus or some basketball games on campus. And it used to be, I went to college out in California, you would have to go to an arena which was about a mile walk away. And instead, because it was right after one of the LA earthquakes, they played the game on campus. And so we had this little tiny arena with 3,000 people. You'd usually get a couple thousand people at these basketball games. And the place was packed and people were lining up. And we all felt like, for one day, we felt like we were at Duke. We're trying to pack this little 3,000 seat on campus gym. You know, and it kind of has that same effect. Like, wait, if he's going to get in line at 4 o'clock, I have to get in line at 3:45 because I got to get better seats than he does. It was just, it's contagious. So for both of you who started the BHS Dog Section, what are some of the sports and stories that people need to know about? Some of the stuff that's been ignored so far.
I think one of the things was, going back to like the first soccer game, people didn't really know, like, if anyone was going to show up. Like, you were like, are people going to this game? Like, it's been advertised a lot. And then everybody showed up, and, like, it kind of just gave us a feeling of unity, like, oh, like, we're all going to do this for each other. And after that, like, it started kind of booming, and everyone started talking about it. And there was one particular thing where, like, we have a freshman soccer goalie. She starts. And so we made a big deal about it, like with cheering, like we were like, she's a freshman, like number 32, all of this, like our goalie's a freshman. And that's actually the one where her mom like reached out to us, and we took a picture with her after the game. Like, we made her feel really special because, I mean, she's amazing.
Yeah, she was awesome.
So it was just kind of genuine, and like, we saw like what a positive impact it made on her and like on just like her family and like all of her friends. So we liked that feeling, and
we remember being, like, scared freshmen, and, like, obviously the seniors look like adults to you when you're a freshman, and you seem, like, so much younger, you know? So it was nice to, like, that's when it kind of hit us, that, like, oh,
we can make an impact.
Yeah, like, we can do something.
By not even doing anything. Like, we enjoy this, and it makes an impact, so, like, it's, like, we're not, like, it's just, like, a good thing to do. Yeah.
That's great.
And everyone kind of wanted to a part of it. I feel like once the first soccer game happened, the next one was even a bigger crowd because everyone was like, oh my god, that game looked so fun if they didn't go, or that game was so fun if they did go. So everyone just showed out,
and that's the best thing you can do as a fan, is to impact your team's performance in a positive way. And certainly you're doing and you know, Lauren and I have seen girls soccer games at Bedford. Coach Winning has a great program. We just talked about in recent shows how she's had a 200 wins as a coach. So certainly a lot.
She's awesome.
Yeah, so certainly a lot to appreciate as you're there watching as a fan. Now, have the two of you found that the Bedford High School teams in general have a similar style, or have you found that each team has its own unique vibe, and so it's important to go see, you know, more than just a few sports to learn something and help contribute to these individual teams?
Every team definitely has their own vibe and style of like how to go about it, but I think overall Bedford's like has a united like energy,
pride and energy
about our sports teams, and like it's just always been like that. I think like every sports team is important at Bedford, and like I think we're just like kind of setting that in stone and by like going to all the games.
Even our school in general is like very hyped up. Like, we always are considered to be good at athletics, and so that sometimes can put a lot of pressure on people. So we like, it's good to make it like a fun thing where like we're also just like enjoying ourselves, and like this is a good way that we like are prideful of our school and our sport.
It's certainly a lot to be proud about, a lot of success on the field, and the way that the teams perform is fun to see as well. Now, for each of you, what role has sports played in your lives up to this point?
Well, I just started doing field hockey and alpine ski racing my sophomore year, so this will be my third year at both those sports. And it's really just, it's different to be a part of a team. Like, my freshman year, all throughout, like, my childhood and until freshman year, I did dance at Bedford Dance Center, which is a very individual sport. Like, you have your classes and stuff, but it's very individual. And being a part of a team just totally changes, like, how you work together and how close you get with these people that you wouldn't have become friends with otherwise. And it just brings people together overall, and it just helped me a lot, like, through my high school career.
Yeah, right. And for me, I've always played basketball, I guess. I played soccer throughout, like, my childhood, which was always fun. Like, that's how I made a lot of my friends, was through sports. And I still play basketball, so, like, that's been, like, all 4 years at BHS. And like Ella said, like, it's just something that, it's just this, a feel of being a part of a team in a community that, like, all you all share the same goal and the same, like, motivations, going to practice every day, going to games, like, team sleepovers, like, pasta parties, all that. Like, it just creates this this new, like, feeling that is really, really important, I feel like, for high schoolers.
And for our listeners, too, the first speaker there was Ella Irwin, and the second one was Allie Morgan. And Allie, we're used to seeing you on the basketball court. And for you, what is it, how is it different, not just being a fan, but being sort of one of the hubs of this whole little super fan network that's going on now?
It's definitely super rewarding. I actually have the benefit of, I'm the BHS flag holder, I guess, what you call it. our like team flag, I like hold it and like wave it at football games, soccer games, like everything. It's kind of just like, it's a big symbol of our spirit, and it like kind of just hypes people up. So having that, I feel like really propelled like just me, like my mindset in general for being super hype and like kind of leading, not like caring what people think, about being super energetic and like supportive. So it's definitely a lot different than like playing versus being a fan, but it brings an equal feeling of being like a part of a community and helping people, like just helping in general.
You know, it's funny though, when I'm looking at Hanson while I say this, your style of play on the basketball court is not unlike what you just described. I mean, you're energetic, you leave it all out there on the floor, and
this is true.
And you're, I mean, you're doing the same. You're doing the same exact thing here. It's just in a, you're taking the energy, and instead of channeling it to, I'm trying to help my team win, I'm trying to help everybody else's team win and perform better, and not, and really improve their overall high school experience at the same time.
For sure, for sure.
So, all right, one more question, and then we'll let you guys go. This thing is, obviously, school's been in session for the better part of 3 weeks. So it's premature, and we still have a long way until the end of the school year. But all right, let's say the rest of the year continues and you guys are cranking and everybody's happy and people are still going to sporting events. How do you pass the torch for next year?
Well, we kind of have to evaluate our juniors right now.
Yeah.
And, see who's going to step up for next year and hand down the account.
Probably. A lot of people have been stepping up too. Like, it isn't just our grade.
Yeah.
Like, there have been a lot of even sophomores, freshmen that are participating. So I feel like they love like what we're doing. Like, they like are involved in it. So I feel like they'll want to continue it. We're hoping that, like, that's something that like naturally will like pass on to a few individuals that like have what it takes, I guess.
It's I like it. All right. So we'll let you guys go. I feel like I just drank a Red Bull. Like, dude,
that's how we always feel.
We always feel like that.
Oh, my, like, I am just ready to conquer the day. So, Allie, okay, Ella,
awesome.
Thank you so much for your time. Thanks for what you've done for the other sports, and we're glad to have you here.
Thank you so much
for having us.
Take care.
You bye. Too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that was fun. That was Allie Morgan and Ella Irwin, who started the BHS Dog Section. If you haven't, if you have the Instagram, you can follow them at BHS Dog, D-A-W-G Section. It's a fun follow. It's just, it's like literally, they're the ones who, when I look at my feed, there's always a story that's popping up of field hockey or soccer or, I mean, it really... It's like SportsCenter for Bedford.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, you're getting, oh yeah, hey, this is going on. Hey, like, it's awesome though. It's a clearinghouse for Bedford sports.
I really like the answer about how you're going to pass the torch. I mean, if there was any doubt that this would move forward, that should be erased by this mentality of it, this isn't like some sort of a burden or just some sort of a title that you just pass on to anybody. I mean, they're taking it seriously. Like, you have to prove yourself if you want to lead this organization after this year.
I mean, how often, though, you think about where they are in their lives, like they're applying to colleges now. How often does your essay for your college application, I have no idea what the college application process looks like now, although in 4 years, I'm sure I will. How often does your college application essay or your interview topic fall in your lap like that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, those two, first of all, like the way that they present themselves, and the energy that they bring, like, that's hard to ignore. But then when you take on top of it the fact that, hey, we started this thing, we basically built it from nothing, and now we have a network of people that are reporters. Like, dude, that's amazing.
And the fun thing to see will be how it does evolve, you know, not just with, okay, maybe there are some energetic leaders next year who are doing something similar, but their goal probably, if you think about it, is you get the students out to these other events and they gain so much from it that they just keep doing it naturally year after year. And that is what the snowball keeps rolling and growing. And it becomes part of the culture for Bedford students and Bedford athletics.
Right. And you think about how much attention is paid to negative things. And we alluded to it with both of them. Here's a positive thing and a really, if you wanted to, if you were a student at the school, you could have your social calendar, your dance card filled out immediately because you always know if it's, even if it's a field hockey game and I don't have homework that day, I'm just going to go down and watch because I know I'm going to run into somebody. Even if I don't run into somebody, sit in the stands. It's a nice day. It's fall. Like,
absolutely.
Like, you know, it's, I don't know. It goes back to what I was talking about being in college. Like, I went because I knew I was going to be able to watch baseball, but like, I'm in Southern California. I'm sitting in the sun. I'm reading in air quotes. I'm reading for a philosophy class. Like, I'm doing all this stuff at the same time. Like, nothing sucks about this. So, you know, that's the ultimate goal anyway, right?
Absolutely.
As many positive experiences as you can. So, Allie, Ella, thank you guys for coming and joining us, or at least taking time out of your day. Do you want to take a break or do we want to keep cranking?
Let's take a break. I want to set up another fan experience that we need to talk about.
All right. So with that being said, you're listening to Fox on Sports, to be named later on Bedford 105.1. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Andrew Hansen and I have the week off, so take a moment and enjoy some highlights from some of our past shows. Welcome back to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. While it is still called Fox on Sports before we change the name to something else in like four more shows, we are joined by Bedford High girls soccer coach Michelle Winning. Coach, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much.
Hey, great to have you. Good start to the season. But, of course, you come off of last year where you had a great team, an experienced team, and a couple big-time seniors who have since graduated and moved out of the program, Brianna and Shayna. How hard is it to replace talent like those two when they move on, either graduating or move on to the next level of college?
Yeah, players like that, they're not really replaceable, I don't think. A player like Bree Coco comes in, a two-time All-American. You can't just plug one girl into that spot. So we just try to work to find combinations of players to fill those gaps and hope that, you know, one or two players can, three players sometimes can fill what Bree did for us last year. Same thing with Shayna in the middle. And then we're always pleasantly surprised that girls like Gabby DeAngelo step up and then have grown so much and progressed that kind of step into those roles. So I think we're doing an all right job filling those gaps for now, but, you know, those players are always missed.
And Coach, two of those girls were part of your captains, the group of captains you had. Have you named captains for this season?
Yeah, we have. There are Ellie Flynn, Gabby DeAngelis, and Mackenzie McEachern.
So they're taking over the leadership. That's great. We recognize those names. Now, you're off to a good start. A couple of convincing wins here, 5-1 over Portsmouth and 5-0 over Winnicunnet. What's the mood of the team so far with that start?
Yeah, it's great. They're just having fun. It's really high energy. They're excited. You know, we'll see in the next couple weeks when we start getting tested, we'll see what the team's really made of when, you know, we're down a goal or we're only up one. But for now, they're having a great time and they're super fun to watch out there. They're just making combinations and doing their thing.
Joined by Bedford High girls soccer coach Michelle Winning. Coach, you have some new players and you had a few players last year who really took a lot of the spotlight. Who have been some of the bright spots so far this season?
We've had a bunch, actually. I think, like, I've brought up Gabby DeAngelis a couple times. She's really stepped in and taken control of the midfield. And around her, she's got Ellie Flynn, who's just a ball winner and works hard. Olivia Tulin, we have her in a couple different positions, and she's matched up with Mackenzie. So those combinations of players have been doing phenomenal this year. And we got lucky enough to get a transfer, Ava Suminovic. She came in as a transfer, and she's doing great in the back, being a leader back there.
Yeah, it's always interesting. That's like the free agent signing of the high school and college ranks when you get a transfer who comes into the program.
Yeah, as a senior who can bring leadership, it's fantastic, especially in the back where we lost, you know, four girls back there. So that's been key.
Coach, you mentioned Olivia matching up with Mackenzie. You're talking about making connections offensively?
Yeah. Yep. They're doing really well together up there.
So that reminds me, because Mackenzie stood out last year with her speed. We were all just wowed by it. So in terms of when you say matching up with her, it reminds me, I wanted to ask you, is there anybody on the team, anybody on the coaching staff, anybody on the state that can mark her and keep up with her speed?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I know. I know the staff can't keep up with her, and on our, you know, our team, her feet are just so quick. Even just playing in our scrimmages, she beats people all the time. But people have her number in the state right now, so it's really great that she's marked up. But we've been able to kind of work around that. In the last game, we had five different girls score goals, and we have different girls making assists. So our attack is pretty unpredictable right now, which is really fun.
It yeah, when you're scoring 10 goals in two games, five each, like that makes all the difference in the world. And a lot of it has to do, you keep using the word fun, your program has a strong culture, and it's clear that the culture within that program starts at the top. Who are some of the coaching role models or playing role models that have inspired you or still inspire you?
I've been thinking about this one, and one name comes to mind, Bill Whitmore, who used to be the AD here in Bedford. And he gave me my start back in 2002 in Concord. And our program hasn't always had this culture of fun and success. It's gone through some ups and downs. And he's one guy, he took a chance on me. I didn't have any experience. And I really admire the fact that he was willing to stick his neck out there and just say, you know what, I'm going to give this girl a shot and see what she can do. And then he came to Bedford, and when the program hit some dips, he stood by me and was like, hey, how, you know, how can we change this around, and how can we get this culture to be something that is really great and people that are proud of? And he and I worked together, made some changes, and that he's one person that I think has always kind of had my back and always had the best interest of this Bedford High program in mind. And, you know, so I still kind of am in contact with him a little bit, and he's been super helpful to me. And then beyond that, I really feed off other coaches in the state. Meg Young from Exeter, who is a really good friend of mine. You know, we have some banter back and forth, and we have fun just coaching against each other and then coaching with each other to stick out games. And that all transfers. The girls see us friendly, and they see what it means to be rivals but come together and have this positive relationship. So it's a mix and match of things. But, you know, Bill's been great. Corey's great now as an AD. And people like that that just kind of stand behind you and support you are people that I look up to.
Joined by Bedford High girls soccer coach Michelle Winning, and I'm going to call an audible, and I guess it's a good thing I'm not the quarterback for the Packers because I wouldn't be able to do that. But with the team, and you talk about the relationships that your players have and relationships they have with other teams, obviously at this point, everybody from the age, I don't know, maybe nine on up is playing some kind of travel something. And it's not limited to the kids who are in your town. You're playing with kids from surrounding towns or surrounding regions. How much do you find that that's changed things over the last few years as far as players and knowing who they're up against when they're between the lines?
Yeah, and there are times when like I'll think that I'm going into a game blind, and the girls can give me some insight on players that they know. And it's a little bit more now than it had been, but even when I was growing up, I played against Meg Young, and we always kind of knew, you know, our teammates that we played with and then played against for high school. It's fun. It's always been that way, I think. And there are more clubs now, so more girls have that experience. It's really cool to see these girls battle it out on the field and then after the game go and give each other hugs and touch base and say, hey, how's it going? How's your season? It builds some respect between the teams, I think. It's really good to watch and to be a part of.
It's I found it interesting when I was coaching in the spring, and you have one kid who's played on a travel team who's seen a couple guys, and okay, now all of a sudden he knows how to pitch them. It was unique, and I it wasn't something that I was expecting. It certainly made it interesting. So
And sometimes the girls know more than I do in terms of, oh, that girl's, you know, keeper to her left, and we talk about those things, and I have no problem having my players say, hey, yeah, coach, this is what we know about these couple girls. We play against them all the time. Because I can get out there and scout, but I don't see as much as them sometimes.
And it's impressive when you have players who are 14, 15 years old who've picked that stuff up.
Yeah, it really is. I like it. It's fun.
Joined by Michelle Winning from the Bedford High Girls Soccer Program. The University of North Carolina head soccer coach has his 12 core values that all of his players are expected to memorize and follow. What are some of the core values of the Bedford High program?
The first one is respect. I feel like there's a ton of respect for each other in the program. I feel like they have a ton of respect for the coaches and the referees, and they know that that's the expectation here, that you know, we're not going to give people a hard time. We're going to have sportsmanship, and we're going to respect everybody around us and our spaces, and just being a good teammate. You know, being a part of this club is being, or this team is being someone who's supportive of each other. And you know, they're going to be fighting for positions, but it's not about that. And this season, more than any, I've seen girls up on the bench that are standing behind, supportive. Even if they're not getting playing time, they're in it and they're part of it. And they realize that whatever their role is, it's important, and they should be proud to be on the field because we're a competitive team. And it's really a good program to be a part of at this point.
It certainly seems like it is. We're with Michelle Winning, the head coach of the Bedford High girls soccer program. And for anybody who's in town who's had an eighth grader or anyone who's been one, it seems like the year really gets defined by one word: cardigan. And you have an opportunity to be for better or for worse, to be surrounded by a bunch of eighth graders for a few days. How does a trip like that allow you to impart some of the coaching wisdom to your students?
I think it allows me to hold kids to a standard and push them to a point where they didn't think that they could accomplish something. You kind of set that bar and say, you can do this, you got this, and you push them beyond their limits just enough for them to feel success, and then feel like they really overcame something. And I think that's a huge part of coaching, is to manage, like, how far can you push your team before they kind of break, you know, and get them to that level that they don't think they can get to. And that's how I approach Cardigan, is you take the challenges that each individual student is dealing with and see if you can push them just to that point to let them get beyond it without letting them break. It's the best. Cardigan's a great experience for the kids, and every one of them comes back learning something about themselves. And I think that's part of being on a team as well.
Well, that's later on this month. Today, you have more pressing matters. The girls soccer team taking on Merrimack over at the GPS Fields, and we appreciate you taking time out of the busy day to come join us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, we will we'll catch up with you soon as the season wears on, and as always, take care, enjoy the day.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Coach.
Bye-bye.
That was Bedford High girls soccer coach Michelle Winning, who I hope wasn't waiting for me to say goodbye. I just may have just hung up on her, but that's okay. As always, great to hear from her. You can hear the enthusiasm in her voice as far as the soccer program goes, but you also hear it as far as teaching goes. And I had seen it and seen her on the field and the amount of passion she brings there. And then I'm in open house yesterday, and you can hear it in the classroom too, which, hey, it's not often if you're not playing that varsity sport that you get that experience from a passionate, engaged coach, and it really makes a difference.
Yeah, and she's so genuine, and it's fun to hear her talk about those values of respect and sportsmanship and teamwork, and we've seen that on the field from her teams in recent years, and look forward to it more this year. We're going to be broadcasting some of their games on BCTV, so can't wait to get out there and see her squad in action.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Matt Toolin had asked me about whether we were doing any games on radio or on TV.
And yeah, we'll do some TV games.
It's good to know. I had asked him if he might be interested in filling in, doing a little bit of color commentary. He politely declined.
He only wants to focus on watching.
He wants to cheer on his kid.
Yeah.
I can't really blame him.
No.
So, but anyway, thanks, Coach Winning, for joining us. And we'll take a quick break. Come right back. You're listening to Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. Hey, it's Lauren Fox, the host of Fox on Sports on Bedford 105.1. You've been listening to some of our past highlights. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope you have a wonderful sports week.